welcome to episode 30 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Finally! The Tom has come back to Radio Radar!
He is currently standing on the corner of the ropes looking around with an eyebrow up. Tom Agrino, welcome back.
How's it going?
It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Henry Gilbert, hi.
Yeah, it's not as impressive.
He's gone nowhere.
I've been here.
I never planned to.
I was out yesterday.
I had a Ryan Telgenick, hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
So yeah, we have a fun show for you today,
and let's kick it.
Let's go right into the top seven because I love this top seven.
It was a really good one.
We did one like it a while ago, and we realized it halfway through this one. But then we realized we had a totally different take on it. It is the top seven classic gamer rivalries, the kind of arguments you'd get into in the schoolyard, or now in the comment sections of literally any story, regardless of its content.
Or when you're cyberbullying someone on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing about all of these is that everybody has a side and refuses to ever acknowledge that the other side might be equal.
Right, that there is even a modicum of truth.
Right, you're either this or you're this, and there's no in between.
Yes, starting with number seven, which over the years has waned, but there still is the argument raging about which is a better series, Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy. Now, the reason this has waned or had waned was because the clear winner for a while was Final Fantasy. But in recent years, Final Fantasy has gone on a downward spiral. Meanwhile, the last few Dragon Quest games have been awesome.
Yeah. Right. Well, and then Dragon Quest ended up being better by just skipping next generation. Now, you can make a really expensive game. We're going to make a DS game and sell 10 times what you sell.
And the PS2 game they made, Dragon Quest 8,
yeah,
which was super good.
Yeah, it was amazing looking. But though in America, it always seemed like Final Fantasy, like it would always be on top. And now I'd say I wouldn't say Dragon Quest has gotten that much more popular in America in the last 5 years. It's just Final Fantasy kind of fell.
Has gotten a lot worse.
So a quick little backstory.
Final Fantasy story.
You could say they're not rivals anymore because they're both owned by the same company at this point.
Internal rivalries are the most heated.
That's true. Like in Games Radar, we all hate each other.
This is the only time we're ever.
I wish you were all dead.
It's more like Games Radar and Tech Radar.
Actually, no. More like Games Radar and Bike Radar. Fuck those guys.
Their
bikes.
Is there a cycle radar and a bike radar?
Steel frame chassis.
I think we have two competing bicycle websites.
Maybe. Isn't there a music radar?
I haven't owned a bike in 15 years.
I thought Future sold all the music sites.
They did. I know that there are multiple radars that we have no idea about.
They just keep popping up.
The only one we know about.
The radar.
My favorite is Beanie Baby Radar.
Anybody?
That's a real one. I looked it up.
If this was 1990, I promise you Future would have launched Pog Radar.
And this is nothing of Crochet Today versus Knitting Weekly.
Yeah.
Okay, but quick to finish my story.
Oh, sorry.
I got to interview the Dragon Quest developer. I'm like, is there an internal rivalry between you guys? Like, and they just laughed like, no, there's not.
We all do our best.
Yeah, we all do our best. Please look forward to both of our games.
Yeah, we really hope that you enjoy our game. That's like the classic Japanese company line when you ask them a question they don't want to answer or they don't want to say something. They're like, we are really hoping you are getting excited for our game.
Well, wasn't that the Metal Gear Kojima Productions and
Platinum? No, they were open about their
sobering openness.
That was weird.
It
was uncomfortable for everybody in the room when they were talking about, like, we can't fucking stand each other. Everyone was just like, okay.
And then it's like, well, you guys must have been happy they picked up your game. And then it's like, we've been in a dark place.
No, they've actually been depressed.
They stole our game from us.
And they turned it into shit.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Anyways.
So, yes, that is a... Though the rivalry is becoming stronger because of Final Fantasy is becoming less popular.
Yes.
Okay. Number six, Call of Duty vs. Battlefield. Some people have said that we should have done Call of Duty versus Halo, but those games are different enough that I think there's room for both of those. There's not room for you to play Call of Duty.
Here's a fun story about this. When I still worked at PlayStation, the official magazine, I did a review feature of Call of Duty vs. Battlefield. Never before have I received so much hate mail in my life.
Really?
Yep. Physical letters requesting my death.
Which side did you fall on?
Personally, I'm a Battlefield guy.
Okay.
But I scored Call of Duty higher. It was Modern Warfare 3, I think, was what happened with Battlefield 3. Mainly because Battlefield 3's campaign was atrocious.
It was pretty rough.
It was pretty bad.
So,
I mean, the big issue here is that they are fundamentally different games. Because one is intense, fast combat.
It's like arcade shooter versus
massive scope combat.
Yeah. But they're still both
modern military shooters with short single player campaigns and robust multiplayers that involve you leveling up and upgrading your weapons in team based combat.
There are many similarities that people are still talking about the same thing.
And they and it's one of the good ones where it's like if you go to the if you go to the user reviews on Metacritic for Call of Duty, it's all Battlefield people saying the game sucks. Right, and if you go to the one for Battlefield, it's all people saying that like, oh, this campaign sucks. The levels are too big.
I also think this rivalry is great because interesting because it plays into a bigger rivalry of EA and Activision.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And also the history of, like, Medal of Honor used to be on top. Then all the Medal of Honor guys left to make Call of Duty. And then Call of Duty became number one. And then the Call of Duty guys left and EA bought and picked them up. And,
This is like ice hockey in the Olympics. The other, all the Cold War.
The other fun thing about this rivalry is it's one of those rivalries that from the outside, you look and you're like, it's the same fucking game. Like, why are you guys arguing? Just pick up your stupid gray gun and shoot it at the brown people because that's what your game is.
Yeah.
You sure do that for every game.
Sure do. Yeah. And my favorite part is they're usually like nondescript terrorists. They're terrorists. Kill them.
What country are you in? I don't know. It's the
one
Middle
with
East.
The sand.
I thought you were American.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Call of Duty versus Battlefield. Number five, Nintendo versus Sony. And also Microsoft and also Sega. So, essentially, the console war.
Sega's hardly
Sega's
a part of
this. Just happy to be a runner.
This is just the console wars. The timeless battle of... I spent $400 on this console, so obviously it's better than the one you spent.
I mean, let's be real. They're basically all the same.
They are, in this day and age,
Didn't used to be that way.
I mean, it sort of did.
I mean, the Nintendo systems have pretty much... I don't know. I'd be very surprised if Nintendo stays in this war much longer.
I'm a little worried.
Here's the good thing about being a Nintendo fan, Henry and I will vouch for. So, let's say Nintendo's console... dies. The Wii U fails horribly.
Which
the 3DS is still... Well, the 3DS was doing worse than the Wii U was at one point. But the 3DS is still so popular that, like, the Zelda games we want, the Mario games we want, we will still get them on on proprietary Nintendo hardware because Nintendo will always be able to print money with Pokemon games.
That's true.
Like, Nintendo can justify an entire console with the Pokemon games. And if they ever got to the point where their back was against the wall and the Wii U was failing, they could just be like, okay, we're making a real Pokemon game for the Wii U, and that would do crazy numbers.
It would. That would sell so many units.
Like they have so many Hail Marys they haven't even thought about throwing.
Right.
And I wonder though if they would use them. Like, do they have that in them?
Also, well, Nintendo is too prideful a company to quit either. And as we established on a previous episode, like they have $14 billion, unspent.
They can take some blows. Yeah. I wonder if they
could
ever...
This entire generation could flop, and if there is another console generation, they'll show up.
Yeah. I think you're right. I definitely cannot see Nintendo going the path of Sega, being like, all right, whatever, we'll make games for any platform. We actually don't give a fuck.
Well, Sega made a decade of stupid decisions.
Right.
But
Nintendo is well on its way.
Yeah,
3DS is doing super well.
I mean, really, I think the only misstep they're having right now is with the Wii U.
And it's specifically the marketing of the Wii U.
Right. Yeah.
What even is it? But yeah, back to the rivalry. Back in the old days, like, you could compare the Super NES and the Genesis. You'd be like, oh, these have clearly different games, clearly different stuff you could do. Same with the N64 and PlayStation. I just read some great, I can't remember the name of the site, I'm sorry, but follow me on Twitter and I'll tweet it. HENERYG, if you want to read it. But anyway.
Hernergy.
Wow. It was this. It was a biography.
Your Twitter name really sounds like you're starting to spell hernia.
It was the history of the old president of Nintendo of America,
Howard
Lincoln.
Where else
can we
go with Henry's Twitter name? Can we just go HenryG_GR?
Maybe I should do that.
Maybe. Maybe it's time.
No, I'm not going to change. Anyway. All right. So Howard Lincoln, it was these old quotes from Howard Lincoln, the old president of Nintendo. And one of them about the N64 was, you can't even compare a 32-bit system and a 64-bit system. We've jumped a whole nother generation past the PlayStation. The PlayStation, compared to what the N64 can do, is going to look like Donkey Kong Country.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hear that's how gauntlet hard it, being dropped.
And then that guy was probably still angry about Sega does what Nintendo don't. Like, he probably woke up in cold sweats at the night, mid-curse about that fucking he has it on his wall, and there's just like a knife, not even a dart, just a knife that he throws
at. I think another important thing about this too, and Henry briefly touched on it, is that, I mean, back in that rivalry stage, it was almost all exclusives for each console. Like, there wasn't really cross-platform in the level that it is now.
I'm struggling to think of, like, just thinking about in terms of the Microsoft console, the Xbox, and the PS3. There's the Blu-ray player. What else is different?
You have like, each system has its, like, five exclusive series.
Yeah. Right, which are all internal.
And the rest?
Yes.
The rest is exclusive media streaming stuff.
And which at this point is barely any.
Yeah, at this point, what is it? Like, all
sports
the ones that matter
mainly.
Are both. Yeah,
that's true. I think
there's ESPN.
I think Microsoft has, I want to say, like, basketball? Like, one of them has, like,
Sony is MLB.
They
yes.
are.
No, you got MLB TV on Microsoft also.
Huh.
And I've been tempted to subscribe a couple times.
I mean, it comes down to which console insults you less with its interface.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely differences in interface, but like if we're like, is it MLB? Is that the biggest one? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think now for the next generation, it'll just be which has better the share button and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, with the next generation, it could be interesting because if Microsoft.
If Microsoft.
Did you almost call him Michael Douglas?
We call him Michael for short, Microsoft.
I don't know where Michael came from.
Microsoft.
If Microsoft.
Microsoft wrote a cool article for Games Radar this week.
Microsoft?
Yeah, Michael Raparez Soft.
Michael is a soft guy. Anyway, if Microsoft doesn't pick up that whole game streaming thing, then that is going to be a clear and obvious difference.
Well, here's the thing. If you read between the lines a little bit between, and Sony said that they are partnering with Ustream, why would they partner with Ustream and not Twitch? I have a reason. Because Microsoft has an exclusive partnership with Twitch. Because Microsoft will throw money at somebody for exclusivity and Sony won't.
You know, Microsoft is going to have streaming. There's
way. But that's the thing. If one's streaming through Ustream and no one uses... Ustream's not a big gaming platform and Twitch is, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I'd say that Microsoft isn't doing streaming is because we'd probably have heard about it for a while. Like, if you look at Gaikai, they've been talking about
different
their...
streaming.
Getting their technology out there and figuring out like the actual prototyping and getting it to work.
Another difference is Sony bought Gaikai outright, whereas Microsoft is probably working on a behind-the-scenes deal.
I'm saying you can't really work behind the scenes on something like that because it's such a massive project and it requires so much.
A company as big as Microsoft, though, they could have it under a weird, like, they could have, like, 17 patents under Windows Phone that are actually secretly patents for the 720.
That's possible.
For Durango.
Here's one
fun
other...
to say it like that. Durango.
Durango? I used to love the name of the Dodge Durango. Well, I thought it was the best SUV out there.
Why are you talking about SUVs right now?
Here's one other old story about Sega and Nintendo's heated rivalry.
Bring it back.
Like, in 1993, Senator Lieberman had his whole thing. Like to call video game violence to the carpet and figure stuff out. And Nintendo in like
did I call it to the carpet?
Is that a
call
phrase?
It to the carpet? Anyway,
I'm sure there's a carpet in like the Senate building.
Hold it down and push.
All right. Well, anyway, they had a Senate meeting about it. And Nintendo was there, and not unlike somebody who's still laughing over.
Call into the carpet.
But not unlike people who sold out other writers to the House of American, Un-American Committee, Nintendo, Howard Lincoln's just there like, no, we're great, and we make games for the family and kids. Sega's making these pornographic games that they're selling.
The
he's like, they're making pornographic games that they know children are buying. Look at Night Trap. They know what they're selling here.
Wow.
Like, it was sad.
Nintendo.
And then Nintendo. Like met with Lieberman, and he was like, they have a presentation for Lieberman of like, look, the Genesis is playing Mortal Kombat. Can you believe that? Look at all the blood. Yep. It's horrible.
And the funny thing is, like, if you look back to the earlier generations, there were a lot of games that were multi-platform, but the versions were almost totally different.
Yeah.
It would be like, that's why we were doing our list of the 100 greatest games. It would be like Aladdin. Oh, it has to be the Genesis version. The Super Nintendo version was terrible.
Right.
Like, there's all these weird things.
Multi-platform development.
They'd essentially just make you make a new game.
Yeah. Yep. Which probably had to be, because I'm sure there was no, like, the infrastructure, I'm sure they built completely different from one another.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There was no way to
bring
it over, but, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like how Neo Geo is not even in this conversation.
Why would they be?
Come on.
Come on.
Number four.
TurboGrafx-16.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Jaguar. JRPGs versus Western RPGs is number four.
What was Jaguar?
I've always kind of had an issue with this rivalry just because it's like they feel so
separate. I want
to
talk about Jaguar more.
No. Nobody else. Nobody wants to listen to you.
In WRPGs, you can probably kill some jaguars, but you'd never kill a jaguar in a JRPG.
And you never call them a jaguar.
You'd fight people holding guns with swords. Yeah.
All right, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida, and their NFL team is the Jaguars. It is Jaguar.
I think that's an accent thing.
Jaguar?
Nah,
you
made fun of people for saying
drawl.
Nah, the southern drawl is to say Jaguar.
Jaguar?
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Give me that Jaguar, Jackson.
Number four, Jaguars versus Jaguars.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. JRPGs versus Western RPGs. Another one that's sort of faltered over the years, but it's sort of, I mean, there are some big Japanese RPGs that are, I mean, Persona is one that I'm going to bring up.
Persona!
So, this generation specifically is when the shift has happened.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Persona is more of the closest thing to a WRPG that, the closest JRPG to a WRPG. Did
really?
I say that right? Because with most JRPGs, they're very linear, and you're kind of just, it's, what? I guess it's the element of being able to choose where you're going to go and what you're going to do makes me feel like it's more of a WRPG, which I feel like, personally, is why I like it. Because I can't stand JRPGs.
To me, I always dismissed WRPGs as buggy and not fun and ugly and bland.
Because for a while they were.
It was just like Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Yeah. And they all, like Morrowind. I saw my friends playing Morrowind, and I was like, wow, what a deep world. But, man, is it ugly.
I'm just thinking about how angry you just made some people for when we're talking about RPGs to have called out an open-world action-adventure RPG and a tactics RPG. There are people right now that are so angry at you that those are the two you went
Deal.
To.
Deal with it.
Maybe I just got so used to, the color, all the colors of JRPGs.
All the belts. And,
the belts and just people. Yeah. They would put a ton of work into a main character.
Once BioWare commandeered the love interest thing. I feel like it was just all over.
It just all fell apart.
That's all they had.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one that's, I don't know if next generation this is even going to be a thing. Like, JRPGs are kind of,
they're portable games.
They're portable games now.
Which is the way I prefer to play them, honestly.
Yeah, same.
I would never have played Persona on a console.
No, me either.
And if they released, like, Mass Effect on a handheld, I'd be like, I kind of want to play this on. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is an interesting one. It's still mainly this one doesn't rage on amongst people who play a lot of games. Mm-hmm. This is like you'll see people like Call of Duty fans. A lot of them play other games, and Final Fantasy fans sometimes. But like when it comes to a JRPG, there are people that are like, oh yeah, I'm a hardcore gamer. I only play JRPGs. Like they will go all out and attack you.
Yeah.
There's this one guy that would, like, anytime we posted anything about JRPGs not doing as well, would just immediately post on Games Radar, like, JRPGs are doing better than ever, there's more of them than ever, and they're selling more than ever.
And I'm gonna bomb your office.
Yeah, it's just like, Jesus, come on, man.
Yeah.
I think we talked about him before, this Stealth, the guy, there's a Twitter parody account that just quotes him for being insane.
Really?
Yes. He's apparently
awesome.
A storied Destructoid commenter. That has made his way over to Games Radar. Yes.
We should be honored in a way.
We are. Number three, keeping up with the RPGs, World of Warcraft versus whatever the newest MMO.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What a familiar topic this is.
I feel like you and I are personified, because you were a big WoW gamer.
I'm a diehard WoW fan,
and
but you know what? I always give new MMOs a chance, and a lot of times I enjoy them, is at least just as much as that game, but god damn it, I cannot escape the comment section, or like the chat, the global chat, where people are like, it's not as good as WoW.
Or, the chat is always 25% of people saying it's not as good as WoW, and 75% of people saying it's better than WoW.
Yeah.
And either way, the conversation is so horrible that I've turned off chat in every MMO.
It's the only thing it's the only way you can enjoy a new MMO at launch, because everybody's always making that comparison. It's like, Jesus, can't another MMO exist without having to mention that one?
No.
It cannot.
It's the truth. It is.
Myself,
I'm a huge WoW fan, and I still believe it to be the best MMO.
And I still find it to be a shitty EverQuest knockoff.
Oh!
Well, Kabam. Say what you will. I mean, but guess which one has more points?
I know, and it's something that I just deny to myself. Like, I'm still not fully on board with this idea that World of Warcraft is bigger than EverQuest.
Here's the easy way to justify it to yourself.
By about, I don't know, 20 times.
Gonna keep denying it.
Just keep,
You can say anything you want
No. I mean, look at, like, what music is the most popular music. Just because it has more people listening to it doesn't mean it's good.
Oh, shit.
Look at, like, the movie, like, look at Michael Bay movies making, like, $180 million
in a weekend. No, that's a valid point. And that's fine if you guys don't like WoW, but
WoW is the Kesha of MMOs.
Oh, bullshit.
Give me some Kesha.
It's a lot deeper than that.
Give me some Kesha right now.
Don't stop time o'clock till we see the sunlight.
There we go.
So you're the biggest WoW fan here.
We have to deal with this
here.
Shit every day.
And,
and I love Kesha.
I'm Alan Wake. So, I've noticed it. I've had to stop listening to every chat ever, and I don't think this is something that's going to stop. I don't even think, Blizzard could be like, we're shutting the servers down. And, like, for the next 7 years, people will be like, I miss WoW. This isn't as good as WoW. This is better than WoW ever was.
I'm curious how small the WoW population would have to get before. Because there's still EverQuest. EverQuest only has less than 10,000 players at this point.
WoW's servers will probably be open for at least another decade.
At least another 50 years.
Well, I mean, let me make this clear, too. I think there are many other wonderful MMOs that all do things better than WoW.
Yeah, that's not a question.
But in terms of the complete package, for me, WoW is the top dog.
Do you think they'll ever be in a new MMO that like can even hit like 7 million
subscribers? Yeah, so I think EverQuest was like MySpace, and I think WoW is like Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of thinking about it in terms of like what is going to be the next big social media
platform. It was also, for WoW, it was also a kind of a scenario of right place at the right time, and that's one of the reasons they gained so many subs. And once they had that population, it just drew, it kind of snowballed.
The momentum was there, and they've been good at keeping people around.
And there are other MMOs that have hit like 5 million and stuff, but there's not going to be, I honestly can say there's probably not going to be another subscription MMO.
No, not 5 million. No. That's too
free
high.
To play.
No, those free-to-play ones will hit a couple, like maybe two or three.
No, if you look at stuff like, what's up, Legion?
Legacy?
Why am I
Lineage?
Lineage. That's got like 30 million or something.
No, yeah, there are plenty
30
of...
30 million?
The entire country of Korea.
No, yeah, there are games that have had, like free-to-play games that have concurrently, at least for a time, like up like 5 million or so, but there's not going to be another.
Sure,
but those are ones. Yeah, MapleStory is like 30 million.
Yeah.
But there's not going to be another pay, like subscription MMO.
Absolutely
right. Free to play, there's no reason there won't be. Like, if they put enough advertising money, you're going to get that big boost, and if it's good, they'll have people playing it.
Yeah.
And since it's free to play, they don't have to worry about how many subscribers they have. They can just say how many people they have that play it occasionally.
Which is why it was so insane that, like, any MMO coming out these days is a subscription-based model.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, well, like Final Fantasy XIV,
like Final
launches.
Fantasy XIV, like Star Wars,
I think that's the way to go. Because I think that, so I think that you should build your game to be subscription, and then in 6 months add a free to play feature. Because then you're getting the benefits of, generally speaking, free to play MMOs that are built from free to play from the ground up have these giant issues that are essentially made so that you have to pay. Otherwise, if you look at like DC Universe Online is better because it launched as a real MMO and then was free to play. Lord of the Rings Online, like all of the best free to play MMOs started their lives.
Well,
what about
Guild Wars 2 though?
And Guild Wars 2 costs $50 when you buy it. PlanetSide 2 isn't an MMO.
Ooh,
yeah, I would say it is. Pretty sure it is.
Yeah.
It's a massive. It's an MMO shooter. So is, I mean, it doesn't have questing.
Structure.
It's different because it's a shooter. But I mean, when you come to like an MMORPG.
Well, it's not an. Yeah, I mean, it's still an MMO, just not
okay,
an MMORPG.
Okay, it's an MMO. So, you could say the same about League of Legends.
No.
You have a persistent character.
That's not a persistent
massively
world.
Massively multiplayer.
So it has like to be a persistent world?
Everyone in that same world.
Okay, then you. So it's an MMO, but I'm saying specifically when it comes to the best free to play MMORPGs, which is. Not a giant room where a bunch of people fight each other, like quests, leveling up, that sort of thing. Mm. The best ones have started as, and I'd say that the best MMOs, period, have started as free, as pay-to-play games.
I'm curious to see how Neverwinter comes out, because that's starting as free-to-play. It looks like it's going to be AAA-ish. AAA-ish? AA?
A and a half.
AA the minors.
If Moody's
two and
were
a half
involved
A's.
In here, they're AA status.
Yeah. So,
but,
it looks good.
Yeah,
but yeah, I still think that. I feel like you're gonna play that game and be like, huh? They're for like 2 hours in. I'm being asked to spend money Whereas, right. like, pay-to-play games are like, well, we have 400 hours of content. let's just make the first 50 hours pretty easy.
I thought Guild Wars' model was really cool. Like, I'm happy spending the $50 for a game as long as it's, like, the persistently free
I like
game.
That, too, but I don't think that you're going to see that much.
Yeah.
Because I think more likely you'll approach. See... You'll see people launch that $50 game with a subscription and yeah. then just be like, it's free to play a few months later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because, I mean, then you get a full game. I mean, a lot of games I've played, like I played a, it was an MMO.
Well,
the Battlestar Galactica MMO launched Battlestar as a free to play game, had amazing combat. Some of the best space combat ever. Filled that hole in my heart where Jumpgate Evolution was supposed to be. But because it was built from the ground up to be a free-to-play game, there was always the option to spend $50 and get a gigantic ship that is almost impossible to
destroy. So now I wonder, I'm curious to see how Wildstar will do.
Probably.
Oh, that's
it's probably going to be free-to-play.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it will be. Maybe
granted, they might do the Guild Wars. It's published by the same team, but same people.
Yeah.
If Guild Wars did
bucks
well.
For it. Yeah,
I will.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Number two. Mario versus Sonic.
Forget about it.
Yeah, I don't... For me, this is such a ridiculous rivalry. Like, there's a... I mean, I don't know. I guess for me, there's a very clear winner.
I hate them both.
All right.
I hate them both.
Well, number one, you didn't... You weren't a player back in the early 90s,
yeah,
were you?
I was. What are you talking about?
You were
what
like,
the hell else was I doing in the early 90s?
You were still an egg in your mom's womb in the
not.
Early 90s.
But all right. Oh. This one is harder to care about now because... The war has been over for more than a decade.
Right. But there are still those people that, like, it's like people when you go to the South, people still fly the fucking
stars and bars.
We have one on the staff. We got Justin Tell on the Sonic team and Henry H. Gilbert.
I'm just on the sensible
hashtag
team.
Mario.
All right. Well, I remember back in the day that it was just, it felt like a battle of style over substance. Like, Mario was deeper, but Sonic had more panache. And
yep.
He'd be tapping his foot like
he was faster.
You
couldn't keep up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was Sega that wanted to do it. Like Sega's whole ad campaign was to
Sonic had, was the jock with the Ferrari, and yeah, like, Mario was like the nerd with his SAT score,
but a pickup truck for some reason.
Right.
Still.
The valedictorian. Yeah. He was like a nerd. Yeah,
nerds always win.
But there were like commercials of there was this. I remember this one. It was a commercial with an old lady was like, I don't like that Sonic. He runs too fast. He needs to slow down. Why can't he be like that nice Mario boy? He takes his time.
Can I be the first one to say that Henry has an amazing old woman voice?
Good.
Like,
I'm
really good.
To use
I thought he was my grandma, whose picture is hanging up on my desk
it
right
is.
Now.
She's very attractive.
I know.
And there were definitely schoolyard arguments. Me and my brother... He was the Sonic fan. I was the Mario fan.
Brother against brother.
Is your brother alive?
I knew
still?
This was rooted in a form of psychological damage.
and
is this why you yell, you're not my brother, at Justin Tal whenever he talks about Sonic?
And Justin's like, I know.
We live in entirely different continents.
Yeah. Also, I recall that some people still were taking it seriously into the early 2000s when I worked at a movie theater, AMC Theaters. There were two managers there who, like, they were... I befriended them because they were really into games, too, and they'd be like, oh, a new issue of EGM, you know, back when magazines existed.
Right.
It was like, oh, an issue of EGM came out. And they'd, you know, we'd all
pretty
go
sure
through it
most
together.
Most of Future's revenue is still magazines.
But they seemed like, you know, grown-up video game fans. And then you'd mention Mario and Sonic, and they would immediately, like, turn into their 8-year-old selves. Like, Mario's best, man. No, he's not. Go to hell. I hate you. Like, ugh, boy.
So that one, that debate, though, is sort of over because Sonic hasn't been able to
Sonic has kissed
get it up, I guess.
Yeah. I would say Sonic has kissed the ring, so to speak, of Mario.
To, yeah.
I mean, it's like Sega's out of the war, pretty
yeah.
much. They have really no more skin in the game. And they just, for the life of them, cannot figure out how to make a good Sonic game.
Well, yeah. Some of Sega's best-selling games of the last decade have been the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Oh, totally. Some of Mario's best-selling games have been.
Yeah, but Sega technically developed and published them. I think.
There's an entire audience of gamers that we will never interact with, and we know nothing about. Like, the 12 million people that would probably say their favorite game is Sonic and Mario at the Olympic Games. Yeah. Like, they exist.
That's a weird thought.
Is it Mario and Sonic or Sonic and Mario?
It is Mario and Sonic.
I just love the fact that
they can see
Nintendo
to,
there was
like,
a meeting about
all
that.
All right,
bitch.
Yeah. Mario gets top billing.
You're going to put Mario first.
You're going to spend the money developing it. We'll make the same amount of money off of this.
You get to put our character on your cover.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say you want to make something other than pachinko games?
Oh.
Could you say it louder? I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Oh, okay. You said okay. All right, cool. And make Mario taller.
Right.
Then Sonic.
That debate is over, but the debate that is not over and will probably be raging for at least a few more years and has been for a long time is PC gaming versus console gaming.
I've been on both sides of this at various points in my life because I started consoles with the NES and up through the PlayStation. Then I became a hardcore PC gamer through this until this generation started. And even a couple years into this generation, I was still, no, PC games are the only games to play, you idiot.
So this is the one that, like, the comment sections will always go to. Even more than, like, you'll always see, like, there will be a post about the PS4, and somebody will be like, I already have one. It's called my Dell XPS. I don't know. It's 8 gigs of RAM. That's cute. I have 12 already, and it didn't cost me that much.
And like,
it only cost and
the,
me
yeah, the PC argument is always, well, we don't have to spend $400 for a new console because we can gradually upgrade all the time and always have next gen. And it's like, buddy, we pay like $400 for a console that lasts 10 years.
Yeah.
We don't have to gradually upgrade because our games still look fucking awesome.
For a new graphics.
I've gotten into this argument with Dan Stapleton a few times, who is now the reviews editor at IGN, where I'll just be like, this is why PC gaming isn't doing as well, because like I'll be like, oh, I need to upgrade this, and he's like, well, you only have to do it every so often. I'm like, I bought an Xbox in 2006.
Yeah.
And now
this 12-year-old machine is playing Battlefield 3 fine.
But yeah. It doesn't look as good.
Well, it doesn't. But that's a trade-off
you
make.
Mod the INI files.
And that said, to throw my hat into the PC side,
right?
I did just buy a $300 graphics card like 2 weeks ago. So I love PC gaming, and I'm actually moving more towards it. But even then, like, I upgraded my PC right before SimCity and Tomb Raider came out. Uh-huh. So I started playing SimCity, which is a proving point for consoles. And then I was like, fine, fuck this. I'm gonna play Tomb Raider. Crashing because my new graphics card doesn't have supported drivers yet for Tomb Raider, so I needed to look online and disable random features. Once I did, it looked much better than it did on consoles, but it's like, I just want to play a PC game!
Right, so it's always going to run into that issue, too, of like, most console games that also come to the PC are typically always ports, the ported versions are rarely have the feature set that PC gamers look for, all the modding options and all the little minor graphics tools.
No, Square Enix Eidos has been doing a really good job of that recently. Yeah. Sleeping Dogs and Tomb Raider had amazing PC versions.
Can we just take a moment and just say how awesome Square Enix has been lately?
Yeah. Well, no. Let's talk about how awesome Eidos' games that Square Enix has published have been recently.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You have Just Cause.
They're on a roll.
You have
good
Tomb
work,
Raider. You have Just Cause 2, Tomb Raider, and Sleeping Dogs and Deus Ex. Those are all Eidos brands.
No, they're, man.
Their weakest property is Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Square Enix's credit, there have been bigger publishers who have bought just wholesale others' IP and just laid them to waste, EA being the perfect example. But Square Enix has just like fully supported all the Eidos.
Oh, it's great. I hope that continues.
And Hitman. Like every game they've
even
had recently.
Fucking Hitman.
Yeah.
Deus Ex, Hitman, Tomb Raider. It's beautiful.
For this rivalry, I've always been on the other side as a console game. I have enjoyed PC games, but as, you know, like recreationally every once in a while. But
you're a recreational PC.
Well, just like
gamer.
Someone who like oh, I'll get
around
drunk.
Friends.
I'll get drunk at a wedding or something, like once every 2 years.
Yeah, that's hang it. A PC in the closet.
But I think this generation has been tough on PC loyalists because this was like they used to be able to say Call of Duty is a million times better on PC than your crappy PS2 ports, and now everything's made first for consoles, and then
now you're dealing with like I remember when Borderlands came out, there was a common error where when you started playing it would say please insert this disc into an Xbox 360 console with an A button on the screen, and it's just like, for real, bro?
Like Crysis was the last gasp of old style, and like that.
Yeah, because everybody's trying to get prepared for the next gen right now, every game that's coming out, be it like Crysis or Borderlands 2 even, like the PC versions are much, much better because they're being like, well, let's start being prepared for the fact that we're going to have to make these bigger games.
But get ready for that to turn around by this time next year.
Yeah.
curiously, has there been any console game that has suffered the fate of like Sims or SimCity or Diablo 3 with the servers?
I know. SOCOM 4. SOCOM 4 came out the day of the PS4 hack and died at ignoble.
Yeah. I mean, there haven't been,
that game was just not good.
There haven't been many console games with that you had to be constant internet connection. I mean, you could say potentially maybe Final Fantasy 11 when it came out for the PS2.
Because the biggest issue, it seems like, for PC gaming at this point is that all of the publishers are like, oh, we have to have them using this always-on persistent connection so that they aren't, you know, pirating.
Right, because that's a huge problem on PCs, whereas it's not nearly as easy on...
Rentals is the console version, but it's not as bad as pirating. They still get some money.
That's why there's Project $10.
Yes, there is. Yeah. All right, so that's it for the Top 7. You can check out a new Top 7 every week on Games Radar, and we will be right back. Welcome back to segment 2 of Radio Radar. We're going to jump right into the news, starting with the biggest story of the week, probably, maybe, for some of us in the room. Saints Row 4 has been re-announced. It was technically announced a while ago, realistically. They did say we're working on next Saints
Row. Jason Rubens said it,
But now that company is gone, and it is owned by Deep Silver, or Koch Media, but technically Deep Silver is really running the show with this one. It is officially coming out August 20th.
That's a little surprising. That's a little surprising. So this game started life as DLC for Saints Row 3.
Enter the Dominatrix.
Well, it wasn't going to be, as I recall from the announcement, you wouldn't need Saints Row 3 to play it. It was going to be a standalone DLC game.
So I'm curious whether we're going to get something like Halo 3 ODST or a real Saints Row game.
So the thing that makes me think that it's going to be the plot of the game is that you are the president because the Saints are now really popular, even more so than ever. And aliens have invaded.
Beautiful.
And put the Saints into a computer simulation of Steelport.
Absolutely beautiful.
So the thing that makes me think that it is going to be the expansion-style thing is if you think of the game Enter the Dominatrix, it's an obvious Matrix reference in that title. Matrix is a computer simulation. So I'm guessing that was the big angle for that DLC that has now become the big angle for the actual game.
I'm totally okay with all of it. I want to be the president of the United States.
You can fly in the game.
I want to fly and have alien powers.
I'm disappointed at the idea that they're just going to reuse Steelport, the same map, like if that's what they do, even if it's got a new coat of paint. But then again, Steelport wasn't an interesting city. It was the interesting characters in it.
Well, and also, I mean, the fact that it's a computer sim of a bizarro Steelport means it's going to be Steelport in name, not really in style.
Yeah. It looks interesting. You have weapons that can, like blow enemies up, like in terms of like make them really large and then explode. It almost looks like a Duke Nukem, like kind of Duke Nukem style in terms of like the weapons being kind of even more silly than they were.
And you're going to get superpowers, which they sort of touched on in some of the DLC for Saints Row 3. Like they said, you can outrun the fastest car with some of your superpowers.
And now I'm left wondering, where does it go from here?
I don't know. I feel like every game they're like, all right, so we have this. How can we make this dumber and more awesome at the same time?
It's literally going to have to be like cavemen.
Yeah.
For them to keep up the pace of stupider.
Cavemen who are able to fly like... stealth bombers.
Yes.
Yeah, and now this, they're definitely getting out pretty much exactly a month before Grand Theft Auto 5. I'm also looking forward to, speaking of rivalries in the previous segment, like if they're going to start doing more of those. They did it with Saints Row 2, where they're going to do ads that say, yeah, you can play a boring game like Grand Theft Auto, but wouldn't you want it to go crazy with this game?
I really don't think that they're targeting the same audience. I don't know. Like, Saints Row clearly started as a GTA clone.
Yeah.
And through iteration, it is just... It went the beautiful direction of making its own identity.
It went into the open world kind of GTA type of game that I can actually play all the
time. Yeah. Exactly. It made a fun GTA game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love in the beginning of the game, they already give you, like, the IED or whatever, the satellite rocket thing that's from Call of Duty, and then the guy is making fun of it, like, what a stupid thing this is. Why would anybody just use this? Like, that game was so good.
Yeah, so we're hopefully going to find out more about that soon. Other big story, Nintendo was being sued for a patent about the 3D technology in the 3DS, and it lost, and right now they're appealing $30 million.
Oopsie. Woof. Ouch.
Which is about as much money as they've made off of the 3DS.
Oh, come on now.
So,
now
yeah.
They've sold that many 3DS. Right.
So, Tom, you were reading about this a little bit. So the company claims that they had had like nine meetings or seven meetings.
No. So the guy who filed the patent, who owns the patent, basically had a meeting with Nintendo in the early, I think, 2003, 2004. Seven Nintendo executives were in the room or something like that, three or four of which went on to work on the 3DS itself. And he's basically just saying, like, I gave you this presentation. I was showing you. I had a prototype up. I was showing you how it works. You guys didn't take it and then just completely ripped off my idea. And then Nintendo makes some, like, arcane argument. Like, oh, well, your patent has this cross-dot reference technology and ours doesn't use...
Which, to be fair, is the only way to win bullshit patent arguments, because bullshit patent arguments are bullshit.
Are bullshit.
Though this one might not be
bullshit.
Might
not be bullshit.
They might have actually just stolen it from
him.
That's possible. Imagine his luck now, too, if he couldn't sell his patent, but now is like fucking $30 million
rich. It's just so fucked in the U.S. right now. It's just like, there are so many people.
You don't have to have
there.
A prototype of how your thing works. You just have to say in theory it will work like that.
You just have to have the idea, the theoretical idea.
Well, also, and then some of those patent or copyright lawsuits, they turn into like almost mafia protection rackets where somebody says, hey, I like the, what was the one that finally got, Edge, that guy who had the Edge copyright, who he just went to all these companies like, look, I'm going to sue you for using the Edge name, and we could go into courts, and we could both spend a lot of money for 7 years, or you could just give me $1 million.
Yeah.
And most people are like, fine, here's $1 million. Go away, you turd.
Yeah.
Like, they call him a turd.
Though
they
EA, do. People give EA...
In official court documents.
People give EA a bunch of crap for being a corporate monster, but they were the ones who finally took on the responsibility of defeating that guy in court and making it so he couldn't make any more money.
Yeah.
So.
And then they had him killed.
Right. Yes.
So
that's why
we
haven't heard him.
He is now worm food.
Yes.
They took all of his money. He is in a homeless shelter at this very moment.
Yes.
Where he belongs.
Yes. He is eating soup, though. So.
But I think the thing to note is that Nintendo is appealing it, which to me says they'll, like, if I were to guess, they'll probably settle for less than $30 million.
Like $10 million or something.
Yeah.
They'll be like, listen, we can keep this going forever.
Right.
We have $14 billion. You don't.
Let it be a lesson to you people.
They're like, we'll spend $30 million, not giving you $30 million.
No, because this, to me, I'm thinking that this this patent is something that they will continue to have to license if it stands. So for every 3DS in the indeterminate future, they'll have to keep paying this guy. Mm-hmm. So.
Huh. They don't.
I have
do
no
that.
Doubt that they're just going to fight this one tooth and nail.
Yeah. Other story, Ron Gilbert has left Double Fine. Which is interesting, partially because Ron Gilbert was one of the people who was sort of attached to Double Fine's adventure game as being somebody who was going to work on it.
Was he?
I
knew he was making the cave.
He was making the cave, but he was in that video.
The video was him closing the door.
You can take that video anyway. Like, Tim Schafer's like, hey, if Ron Gilbert's here, he'll probably help us. Slam door in his face.
Yep.
He'll help us. He'll help us.
But it still is like, I know Ron Gilbert is somebody who is synonymous with the adventure game genre.
Right.
And I can tell you, I know people who one of the reasons they put money towards this was because, oh, Ron Gilbert. He made some crazy adventure games. Of course, I'm going to throw money towards it.
Well, it's hard to get upset about this. I mean,
I'm not upset. It's just.
Anyone to get upset. People leave companies. Like, they have their own free will. It's
who's
like,
to say he didn't consult on the Double Fine?
He probably did. I mean, the main story is that people are saying, like, he literally went to Tim Schafer and was like, I want to make this game called The Cave. Here's what I want to do. And then he's like, okay, we'll let you make it. So this was sort of just, like, that's what he was sent to do. But I don't know. It is kind of weird to me that he would leave before the Double... or at least not do that bullshit thing that everyone does. Like, well, I'm still consulting.
Right. Or, I mean, if you think about... I'm sure the design work on this game is already done.
Yeah,
it's
probably.
It's all the implementation at this point.
Well, the things that made me sad about it first, it makes me sad of, like, when... I don't care much about celebrity divorces, but when Amy Poehler and Will Arnett broke up, that made me sad.
Yeah.
And this is
Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert.
I was like, wow, together again. They're going to be making games.
Where the hell else is Ron Gilbert going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Where is Ron Gilbert going to find a better deal to make the games he wants to make than Double Fine? You think maybe it's an ego thing? He didn't want to be under Tim Schafer back when he used to be his boss.
Issues.
Yeah.
He's scared.
He's unwilling to put a ring on it.
Much like Will Arnett and Amy Poehler.
format. Well, David Jaffe, I think it's the same deal with David Jaffe. He keeps going. Like, he finished God of War. He's like, I want to make a new company. And he made that Twisted Metal there. And before Twisted Metal even came out, he's like, I'm tired of all this corporate BS at the company I started. I'm going to start a new company. Yeah. And this time...
Serial...
This time we're going to make cell phone
serial
games.
Monogamist.
Serial monogamist is what he is. That Ron Gilbert.
Yeah.
Other story that is, it's still not official, but there's a game being made called Star Wars First Assault, and there is a video and a bunch of screenshots and a bunch of information about it, and it's essentially Battlefront.
So I think the fact that you're seeing this game means you won't ever play it.
There's a good chance of that.
Right. I mean, isn't it the understanding that it's like a last ditch thing to try and get people pumped up enough to be like, continue making this game?
That is my guess, because in case you guys haven't seen, Lucasfilm made their big move with their animation department this week, where they're like, the Clone Wars is over on Cartoon Network. We're going to make whatever we want.
That show elsewhere. Was doing so well, too.
Yeah, but they don't. Disney doesn't want it doing good on a network they don't own.
Oh yeah.
And then the same deal with like they were going to make. They had been making this show. It hadn't aired yet, but with the Robot Chicken guys, they had made a comedy Star Wars show, and they're like, Star Wars Detours, that's on hold too. The other stuff's on hold. We're totally reassessing what we're doing. And I think the same thing has happened at LucasArts. They just haven't publicly announced it yet. Mm-hmm. And so the people at LucasArts who were working on 1313 and First Assault, they leaked this to Kotaku and be like, this is our only chance. If people don't know about this, then they'll just be quietly canceled. And so,
I mean, LucasArts video game production unit has never been particularly, like, it's felt tenuous for years, since The Force Unleashed.
It just seemed like they didn't know what they wanted. Yeah. But, you know, and then the most popular Star Wars games weren't theirs anyway. It was Lego, like it was licensed Star Wars.
And I mean, that's why when they bought it and when Disney was asked, like, what are you going to do with Star Wars video games? They're like, we'll license them out. Like, what else would we do? Why would we make them in-house?
Yeah. Internally, maybe we'll make some social games. Maybe they own that social company that...
it's almost for the best because Disney's track record in video game industry is not good. Like, the last time Disney tried to make a video game of any kind of... I'm thinking Torok?
No. It was Split Second
and
cool. Pure, both of which were fucking amazing.
They were, all right. I stand corrected.
They were so good, but then neither of them sold, and they closed down Turtle Rock. So sad.
And then Epic Mickey 1 showed promise. Epic Mickey 2 did not.
Epic Mickey 2 destroyed Warren Spector's career temporarily.
Temporary.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we will see where that is going. So that's it for the news. We're expecting next week is PAX, so a lot more news. There's rumors of a bunch of games being announced, so we'll have to pay attention to that. But we do have a few previews. Now, Henry, you're allowed to talk about this game a little bit?
Also, I will note that I think some news might break as we're talking here, but I'll keep an eye
on
it. All right, but... all right, so... Luigi's Mansion, I've been playing that, the review copy, though I'm allowed to talk about up to the second level. So, Luigi's Mansion...
I love these fucking embargoes are ridiculous, man. You can stop at level 2.
2.5, actually. Right. So,
oh, well.
Or 2.5, 2-5. Okay, so Luigi's Mansion, formerly Luigi's Mansion 2, now Luigi's Mansion Dark
Moon.
Has
at least 2.5 levels.
Yeah, it has. So, you start the game, you've got 5 mansions. You got to play them in order. One beating a mansion unlocks the next mansion.
I love how they're both looking at their cell phones right now.
I'm trying to see.
I mean, the only news I found is that Battlefield 4 is going to be announced on March 26th.
Ooh.
I think we knew
which
that.
Which has nothing at all to do with
Luigi. All right, Luigi's Mansion. So, you're Luigi again. He's a star. No Mario at all in this game. You're hired to be a Ghostbuster again because the Dark Moon has been destroyed and it's making all these ghosts go crazy. These normally friendly ghosts are going crazy. And so...
You have to beat the shit out of them.
Well, you have to suck them a lot.
That does it.
So
just suck them.
It gets them back in line.
In case you never played the...
They're just being grumpy. You've got to suck them.
Unless you...
Improve their day.
Play the original Luigi's Mansion.
Listen, Ghostbusters out there. Just give the ghosts a suck. That's all they need.
That's all they need.
If you didn't play the original Luigi's Mansion, it's basically an adventure game where you just go to a room. You have to figure out the multiple puzzles in this room, but instead of clicking on stuff or putting in commands, you either suck, blow, or
either one works,
or shine lights on it.
That doesn't help. And, I don't like that as much.
Yeah. And so it's just a really cool
as much.
The I really like the speed of it.
I'm not gonna turn it down, Tom. Jesus.
Just the pace is so much different from
It'll
Mario.
Do the trick. It just takes.
Please. the pace is so much different from Mario games, and I'll also say that this game has made me appreciate or remind me what I really liked about Luigi. I'm a big Mario fan, never liked Luigi as much, but he's got so much personality in this game. They put a lot of work into, like, he's basically like Stan Laurel of Laurel and Hardy or other silent film comedians, where he does so much just acting with his fingers, of like twiddling his thumbs or like looking at things scared, or it's I don't know, he's really funny. And they put a lot of work in these intro cutscenes. There's one before you fight the final boss where Luigi goes into an elevator and he had been scared the whole time, and then elevator music cuts in and he just presses the elevator button, and then he like stands there twiddling his thumbs. And
Luigi is a neurotic mess.
Yeah, he is.
Of a human being.
He's had to live in the shadow of his brother, and it's
a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure.
I'm really looking forward to the history of Luigi article you're doing.
You'll learn a lot. Everyone will learn a lot about the history of Luigi.
Excited.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So that's,
Find out more about it.
It's got boss fights. Boss fights are fun. I can only say, there's one boss fight, but it's fun. Yeah.
No, boss fights?
There are probably multiple boss fights.
Yeah. Possibly leading to a third boss fight.
Perhaps. The review will be up next week, so keep an eye out for it, friends.
What day next week?
22nd.
22nd.
Cool. And Ryan, you saw Guacamelee.
Guacamelee? I don't know, however you pronounce melee. That's how I've always said it.
If you played tabletop RPGs,
they said Guacamelee. And they're like, yeah, that's how we pronounce it. I was like, well, you're objectively wrong. anyways, I played.
And you punched them in the face.
I played with the guys at Drinkbox Studios. These are the guys who made Tales from Space Mutant Blobs Attack.
Such a fun,
one of my favorite
game
Vita games of all time.
Out of four.
Yes. Out of the four that are out, it's the best one. But yeah, it's a really fun, downloadable kind of side-scroller Metroidvania / beat-em-up. Also, it's Mexican folklore inspired, which is really neat, because there's not really a whole lot of games that have that, right? Like,
there was Chili Con Carnage.
I mean, no real good games that have that. What?
Nothing.
What about Army of Two, Devil's Cartel?
Carlos Juarez?
No, stop. But it's really cool because you run around punching up skeletons. Tons of powers to get.
Literally.
It's too late for that.
Tons of powers you'll collect. And the platforming is really great, and it involves like a lot of. It's also got that dual dimension kind of thing, like Outland.
Yeah,
or
I saw that.
How do you say that?
Ikaruga.
You can either transport. You can either run around in the living world or the dead world, which are both Mexican influenced.
I played a teeny bit of that. It was like a chase level, and a big monster was chasing me, and I had to do wall jumps, sort of like Super Meat Boy, but you also had to switch between universes to do it.
It gets really complex later on, and I'm glad because it's an extremely challenging game, and you even have to use some of your special attack moves as platforming elements. Like your uppercut will launch you just a little bit higher in the air, and there's all kinds of neat backtracking and secrets to find. I'm fully expecting it to be awesome.
And you can play it like a Wii U game, right?
It's got drop-in, drop-out co-op, too. So you can play with a buddy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very fun. They don't have any... they said it's in certification now, so we'll probably see it in several months from now. They don't have any set release date yet.
So nobody else find it curious that they never make games based on Canada?
Well...
We were just listing off many several Mexico-infused games.
I mean, but those were all not very good.
Well, with the Canada ones, it's just like, they'd be American
syrup
nicer.
And hockey.
Canada has no culture.
Syrup, hockey, and mooses.
They're America, but nicer. That's right.
They are nice.
They're nice. Yeah. It seems like something interesting.
When I lived in Michigan and I worked near the Canadian border, they would always come down to the shopping center I worked at, and man, they were the nicest people I ever interacted with.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, so sorry.
They love saying sorry.
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 All right. Well, okay.
I apologize, by the way. I was hoping somebody would call me on that, but none of you did.
No,
all of you were just like, fuck
Canada.
They're
cultureless, awful people that are really kind, forgettable. all right. We're going to trade out some people, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to segment 3 of Radio Radar. It's the community / review segment. Starting off with reviews, let's jump right into the game that has dominated Lucas Sullivan's life for the past 72 hours.
As in, I stayed up at the midnight launch and played for 6 hours.
StarCraft II, Heart of the Swarm.
Now, all right, basically, let me just say, if you own StarCraft II, Wings of Liberty, just get this game. You'll be happy you did.
Scale from 1 to 10 happiness, but don't confuse this scale with the review scale. Separate scale. Totally different scale.
Convince me.
I give it a 9 out of 10.
Is the writing still shoddy enough to really pump me up?
Okay. I only get hard when characters recite cliches. Am I going to be erect while playing Heart of the Swarm?
Fuck yeah.
You'll be at half mass.
Okay.
You just got a little bit of a chubby going.
Because...
Just half a staff.
I never forgot about you, Kerrigan! Don't you give up on me!
Does Jim Raynor say that?
In the trailer, he says, "We never gave up on you! Don't you give up on us!"
It's also in the very opening of the game.
Well, don't worry, because... most of the dialogue in the game is not between Kerrigan and Jim. It's between Kerrigan and her Zerg underlings. And they are pretty awesome, let me say. You got Abathur, the evolution dude. You got, I can't remember the name of the broodmother, but she's really funny because she doesn't know. I'm very distracted right now.
Ryan's just sitting here touching himself in his stomach area.
You guys don't like my gut? So
anyways.
I'm at half mass right now.
Appropriate.
Yeah, so that's the campaign. The campaign's really good. The missions are really fast-paced, and because you're playing as Zerg, and they're known for rushing.
Yeah,
they spawn units from constantly replenishing larvae. So you can in the campaign missions, instead of building up a tech tree and like waiting for individual units to pump out, you can get like 7 at a time and just keep doing that over and over.
Like StarCraft, I mean, campaigns in RTSs in general usually try to find unique ways to make it so you don't spend 30 minutes making a base.
Every time, do they sort
of use that as an excuse, like the fact that they're the Zerg, so that you're like, hey, here's a bunch of Zerglings and Banelings and...
Yeah, so on top of like being able to produce
Hydralisks
really fast.
That's what I was... I'm sorry. I'm like, I know video games.
Bravo. So sometimes they'll literally just give you like, oh... You're doing well in this mission. Here's 100 Banelings. And then it's just really fun to, like, use those Banelings to blow up...
You ever hear the Justin Bieber parody song?
Yes, I have.
Banelings.
Every time I hear the real version, I think of that
version.
Like
a slimy green landmine.
I only know the Gollum one. There was, like, a Lego Gollum, and he's precious, 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 no! It's an amazing video.
It's wonderful. There's also a good version of somebody who does a perfect Gollum impression, like Gollum from the movies.
I watched that.
Just recorded himself getting super emotional into the song from
Les
Miserables. What song is it?
I dreamed a dream.
It's perfect.
It is amazing.
We'll tweet it out on the Radio Radar Twitter. GR Radio Radar.
Oh!
Radio Radar. So that's the campaign side of things. On the multiplayer
Before you
side
get,
of things.
I'm going to let you finish, but I need to know a little more about the campaign.
Go on.
So in terms of the actual narrative... It felt like StarCraft III ended a little bit, StarCraft II's ending was obviously cliffhanger into StarCraft III.
Yeah.
Wow. Woo! Heart of the Swarm. So does this one have a similar bridge to Legacy of the Void?
This one has a more satisfying ending.
Okay.
The last one was
like super obvious.
Right.
Yeah, that one, I must admit, like when the last cinematic in Wings of Liberty played, I was like, that's it?
It was a campaign in your ass.
That was really bad.
Boo. That'll be my thing from now on.
For Heart of the Swarm,
that's usually Lucas's thing.
There's a satisfying ending with, like, it's obviously building up to Legacy of the Void, which is going to be crazy.
Which is interesting because the Protoss, if I remember correctly, didn't have a huge role in whatever. For Wings of Liberty?
Yeah, they had like a couple missions and...
They were like, what's up? We still exist!
Yeah, in Heart of the Swarm, there are like a couple Terran missions, so they give you a nice variety, but it's mostly Zerg.
Cool.
Anyways, multiplayer, they do a way better job of helping scrub nubs,
like myself
and Ryan Talchnik.
And me.
Learn the game, because more players equals a better game, because, you know... You're trying to balance for a bigger audience.
But the ladder anxiety, Lucas.
That's what you got to get over, Greg, and this actually helps you.
I watched you have ladder anxiety at your desk.
In what way does it help scrub nub players like ourselves get better?
So, back in the day, aka Wings of Liberty, they would just throw you in there. Like throw you to
they
the wolves,
pro
basically.
Toss you in there.
I remember. Oh my, I remember when you first start the multiplayer. It's like two options. One, I'm a hardcore like professional gamer. Two, I've never played an RTS before, and I was like, and then I chose like I guess I technically have played RTSs, and it's like, all right, I'm just gonna throw you into the deep end. And I played like one match and was like, nope, I got Zerg rushed. I'm done.
So now they have a system where you go through training, then you play the AI. And this is all optional. But training, which tells you like how your timings are doing. So it'll actually give you a message like, you made a pylon too early. You should have kept mining for this span of time. Or like, you need a zealot right now, so build one.
Does that kind of... I guess...
It's optional.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but StarCraft II... you know, there have been specific build orders that are typically you have maybe one or two to choose from to be successful. Does this kind of force you into that?
It doesn't force you into anything, but it gives you the sense of like, oh, okay, at X minutes, X supply, I should be building these units.
And the thing about those build orders, wow, without Tom Magrino in here, the thing about still reigns supreme. Thing about those build orders is those really weren't ever explicit in the game. You kind of had to do your additional research, which is one of the reasons that scrub nubs like ourselves failed horribly in StarCraft, especially StarCraft, because there's very little wiggle room. In Warcraft or Command & Conquer, it's like, just do what you want. Just make sure you can defend yourself. StarCraft is such a fast game.
Yeah, there's no turtling in StarCraft.
No, there's
no turtle unit. If you're going to be restricted to a couple of build orders, then I agree. It'll be helpful to at least have an idea of what the hell those build orders are.
I mean, you need somewhere to start. And once you get better at the game, which you will do through ranked or unranked matches, then you can start experimenting with your build order.
Oh.
But all in all, great expansion, and I highly recommend it.
So you were lukewarm on StarCraft II. It felt is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you were sort of they freaked up kind of WT freak Blizzard kind of style. So do you think are you back in? Do you think that has saved StarCraft for you?
I'm in it to win it now. Like, I am legitimately going to try to up my game because of all these advancements for training people who are not the greatest.
New units, too,
right? Becoming better. Yeah, so the new units are fun without changing, like, the entire game as we know.
How many total new units are there?
There are,
Isn't it two or three per race?
I heard
seven total.
Seven total?
Because you get two, four... Terran, two for Zerg, and three for Protoss.
Mm-hmm. And what if you don't buy this expansion?
So I think Wings of Liberty will continue to have its own ladder, but they'll only play amongst other people who didn't buy the expansion. So it's not required if you want to play, but I see no reason.
You take your shit
to.
Seriously. Grow a pair of balls, male or female. Females can have balls, and go buy yourself this game.
That.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. So what score did you give it?
4.5 stars out of 5.
Hot God dang.
Yes.
Awesome.
Glowing.
So that was the only big review to go up this week that we played. Also, we posted a LEGO City review. You can read it. The reviewer loved it, said it's one of the better games on the Wii U.
It's like a GTA LEGO game.
Yeah, it looked like a GTA LEGO game, and then it's like, and surprise,
sans,
it's a GTA LEGO game.
Sans co-op.
So how do they explain carjacking in a GTA
You're a cop.
LEGO game? So you just start like,
cops
I need
are
this.
Allowed to.
Yeah. I need this car.
You do it for the law.
The true crime games have always done the same thing where it's just like, or even, I'm trying to think, there have been other cop games where it's like, hey, get out of the car. You like flash your badge and then they just like,
sleeping
all right.
Dogs.
Okay. Sleeping Dogs did it. I feel like there was another game that did it that...
You're a cop who doesn't always play by the rules.
Oh, and Just Cause, they just kind of like, in Just Cause, you're like technically, you're like one of the, like part of the rebellion and you're just like, get out of my car,
oh,
I need
yeah,
it. And they just
like,
kind
I
of
need
go
this.
Like, they're just like, fine.
You're so, going to blow this up, aren't you?
Real talk, what if a cop sprinted up to you, flashed his badge, said, I need your car? What would you do?
Peel out.
Lower your window, punch the cop in the face.
Fuck the police.
Act as if you're getting out and then just lock the door and flip him off from the other side.
Just both fingers.
I just have a hard... I mean, unless I was watching the crime unfold, I have a hard time imagining. I'd just be like, okay, here you go.
Because otherwise,
car.
You could just dress up like a cop, run up to somebody's car, and be like, it's a police business, I need your car. And you'd have a free car.
Yeah. You're like, I just paid this thing off. I don't care. Get out.
Well, police officers should have, like, official vouchers they can give you.
Especially,
like, I took your car voucher. Please bring this to the nearest police station and we'll deal with it.
Well, there's also the story right now that's going on in L.A. where, you know, there was that murderous ex-cop that was going around.
Yeah.
And when the police
Screw
were searching for him, they saw a vehicle that was similar to his, thought it was his, shot it up. Turns out it was not him in the vehicle, and it was these nice ladies. And they're like, can you replace our car? And they're like, well, we're trying, but the county won't let us because I forget the exact reason. But essentially, for them to buy those people a new car, it's like some weird like tax issue or something that they can't. So right now it's like stuck in limbo. I'm like, I'm not going to give a policeman my car when they shot up these ladies' car and shot the ladies themselves and still won't buy them a car. I'm not giving you my fucking car.
You're starting the riot.
I was really mad for
my
a second.
God. The Ryan riot.
Yeah.
Fired up.
So
you see a Lego guy coming running at your car. Just the peel out. Get out of there.
I really want to dress up like a Lego cop and try to pull people over. That's essentially what I want to do now. Other review that went up, our SimCity review finally went up. And every day that went by, my score got lower. Not just because of server issues, but because of playing it more. And as time goes on, people are finding out more and more the game is more busted than people thought.
No, and
first.
I'm glad you spent the time on it because, man... You know, having only played 10 hours myself, I haven't encountered many of those things, but now I've been seeing all these YouTube videos. In fact, I sent John a video
today.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
So I was like, check out this traffic problem.
So here's essentially how SimCity works. Everything in that game, be it power, literal like the power that goes from the power plant to a house, or water, or people,
sewage,
are agents. And they travel down, I enunciated so that, yeah, they travel down roads, like little dots travel down roads. And if it's
Agents.
Electricity, if it'll be a dot that, let's say it has 10 power, it will supply 10 houses and then it disappears. It all travels down the road. It all goes to the nearest thing it needs to go to. The problem is people work that same way.
Right.
So when a person leaves their work, they go, I'm going to go deposit myself into the nearest house. Everybody who gets out of work at the same time all think that, so everyone gets in this gigantic traffic jam every time anything happens.
Now, here's the problem and the interesting thing with the video I sent John. This guy set up the simulation so that the quickest route would be a low transit road.
A dirt road.
But then he was going to a
stadium, which is like it seats like 50,000. So everybody's trying to get to the stadium.
Right. So they're all traveling down a straight shot dirt road, while there's also a looping expressway,
six
that's
lanes,
maybe very hardly any longer of a route, but it's six lanes wide, and not a single person's using it
because that's not the shortest. They won't factor in. They never will factor. It's weird because it's like electricity. Only electricity goes down. Like, when you click the electricity button, only electricity is using the path that electricity is using. Like, electricity and water and sewage can all be in the same road without crowding each other.
Mm-hmm.
But every car is technically blocking every car before it. And also, fire trucks will be blocked by a car, even though they're technically separate entities. It has all of these problems. Also,
oh boy.
A bunch of things, like, I've said it before, if you're seriously complaining that, like, this game shouldn't have been online, like, or it doesn't have to be online, it's like, well, technically, you could download a copy of WoW, hack it, and play that offline, too. This game was meant to be online. But EA and Maxis have been spouting mild bullshit, saying that the game is like, oh, the cloud does a bunch of calculations, which is why it couldn't be offline. Instead of just admitting, like, no, it's a fucking MMO. Get over it. We made an MMO SimCity. Stop complaining. But instead, they're like, the cloud simulates a lot of stuff.
Yeah, right.
People have modded the game to be completely offline, and it works absolutely fine.
Really?
Now,
oh boy.
I know we've beaten this to death at this point, but are the servers stable?
Yes.
They are more stable, though cheetah speed, I think, is still disabled.
It's not.
It is. Are you 100% sure? Because you can turn it on and it doesn't actually work.
Oh, well, I don't know, but I guess.
Yeah.
When they disabled cheetah speed, everyone's like, it works fine. But then you look and cheetah speed is the same as the medium
speed. Okay, fair enough. I guess I haven't verified that then.
So the servers are better. There are a bunch of things that EA needs. They've shredded all goodwill around this game because not only were they too slow to fix the problems or admit that the problems existed, but now that they have, they're still doing things like being like, oh no, we can never release an offline version because of cloud computing, not because screw you, that's not the game we made. They're like, they keep making up excuses that end up being called out immediately. PC Gamer, if you go to the website, has a good article. Tyler Wilde did it, like debunking or confirming all of the things that are flying around.
Mm.
And most of the rumors are true. Like, it's not possible to play online. Or it is possible to play offline. True. It is, like, the AI is stupid as fuck. True. The only ones that have ended up being fake is, like, Tyler, like, like one of them was like, the game is broken. And he's like, well, that's technically not true. It's not an appliance. It's a product that functions. It just doesn't function as well as you'd like it to.
I'm going to check that article
You should
out.
Check that article out. But yeah, I ended up giving it, I think I gave it a 3 out of 5.
That's fair. I mean, and it's such a bummer because like, when it's working, and even if you're able to excuse the really glaring issues with the AI, like, it is a fun city sim.
It also feels like, oh, the other thing that people have discovered is, like, your city, Tyler Wilde actually described it as flavor text. So if you're playing, the game will say, like, you have 50,000 people, when in actuality, you have 5,000 people. The game just inflates those numbers to make it feel like you have more people. But because the game says, like, you have 50,000 people, it's like, why do I have 500 workers? Like... Nothing adds up. You can work around it, but the game is built on data, and when the game gives you fake data, kind of screws everything.
Yeah, because you make major design decisions based on what it's telling you, and if it's fucking with you, just for fun, to make you not feel like a piece of shit.
I think it does that because they don't want to admit, blatantly how small your city really is, because the city is small compared to old Sim cities, which is fine. But they don't want to admit that your city is small, so they literally just lie.
Right.
That's not a good solution.
No, it's an interesting situation. You should read my review and read that article on PCGamer.com. It's a very good read. And more information is coming out. Oh, and they're going to give a free game to everyone who bought SimCity within the first few days.
The SimCity expansion.
No, they I think they would have said that. They just said it's a free game. They're going to say what soon. I've heard rumors that it's literally just going to be like voucher for one free game on Origin, like one $60 or less
game.
Well,
shit, they got to do something. There's so many people pissed off. And when people were demanding refunds, they're like, nope.
They specifically said, like EA CEO or someone high up in EA said, like, you're allowed to ask for a refund, but their stance was not to give refunds. So you're allowed to ask.
And be denied.
And be denied. I love, in a weird sadistic way, I love that.
In a sense, I mean, even if the, I don't know, I have a hard time trying to justify their stance.
We talked about it a lot last week.
I mean,
it's
the
just
only
whatever.
Way you could get a refund is if you didn't accept the EULA, right?
Yeah. The EULA probably says at some point, by the way, we're never giving you a refund.
We own you.
Got to read that shit. So yeah, I ended up giving it a 3 out of 5. If I have a feeling they're going to fix it.
Yeah.
Like, all of these problems are going to be addressed. They can probably, over time, solve them. That said, I don't think people are going
to... Too little, too late.
Yeah, they need to be... They opened up... Like, if you read, they have some blog posts now that are, like, explaining what went wrong. But they almost... It almost feels like boilerplate manufactured sincerity. Like, oh, man, we're just as sad as you. This is terrible. My boss even got affected. Whoa, look out for my job. Like, it almost feels like, okay, you're trying too hard. Stop it.
Well, and for me, I think this kind of just helps prove, too, that... And somebody, I think, said this in The Office earlier, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was... I was reading... It was about... Because Comixology had a gigantic sale where it was, like, 8,000 or 4,000 comics were free.
700.
700. Yeah. Still a lot. Not nearly as much as I said. But their servers crashed and no one could download anything. And it's like... Everyone is scrambling towards this digital future, and I think gamers and comic readers are willing to embrace it, but we're doing our part in trying to embrace it, but the infrastructure isn't there yet. Like, everyone's like, oh, next-gen gaming, download all your games. It's like, I'll do that. Can you handle that? Well, and the answer is like, well, no, in all honesty, I can't. And
Steam seems to be the only one that is pulling that off.
But even Steam sometimes has those issues where it'll just crack. Like, well, what was the – I feel like there was something fairly recently with Steam where, like – Oh, when Steam during Steam's holiday sale, remember, like, there was like days where you couldn't access your game.
Well, here's the problem with it, and I don't know how this is going to change, but I mean, one of the reasons this is because it's easier to underestimate and then fill in as you need in terms of server space than it is to buy a fucking shit ton of servers and have a huge overabundance that you're paying out the ass for when nobody's using them. So it's like, it's done in the wrong
way. Not everyone, like, I was reading, like, Microsoft has come out and said since then, like, we estimate how many people are going to buy something, and then we buy 4 times the amount of servers. If they can do it, EA, who has, like, 1,000 games that require online play, should just be like, listen, like, fuck it, we're shutting down the Old Republic for a day to fix this. And if 400 people still playing it want to whine, we're sorry, we'll give you some in-game holocrons.
Right, so I'm agreeing that it's done the wrong way, but that must be why it is the case, because
they've denied that.
Really?
Ready for what I think happened? So,
yes.
I think Maxis asked EA, like, yo, EA, how many people can one of these servers you're supplying us support? And EA was like, 1 million. And they're like, okay, we expect we'll have 5 million people playing it, so let's get 7 servers or something.
Okay.
Game comes out, servers support like 200,000. I think, like, I don't think it was them underestimating it. I think it was seriously like, like these servers aren't meeting the what we expected. Like, the game required more bandwidth than people thought. Like, I feel like it wasn't a laziness. I feel like it was a poor planning.
Well, yeah, you think that would have been tested.
Yeah, well, they had a whole, like, 24 hours of beta to test the servers.
A whole 24 hours.
No, they had, like, a weekend beta, and then they had, like, an afternoon beta where it was like, everybody log in as a stress test. Meanwhile, all the MMOs that have come out recently have done, like, weekend stress test. Everyone log in, and it's helped them.
Yeah.
So...
that's frustrating.
The digital future is going to be here. We'll be ready for it. Will you? You as the publisher slash developer slash distributor. So that's it for our reviews. Some big reviews coming next week, so be sure to come back to Games Radar and to listen to this podcast. Now on to community.
Community segment. We are.
Wow, that enthusiasm. I'm actually at half mast again.
Community segment.
What would it take for me to get you to full mast? On the ocean. Wait, no, shit, I was trying to make a boat joke.
The hell
and
was
it
that?
Still turned it into an awful boner joke.
You have to take me to the joke. Poop deck.
Jesus.
Sorry.
That was awesome.
Community segment. Woo! Here we go.
Let's do this!
Greg McGreevy.
Yeah, dog! The thing about the community.
All right, so we're making a couple changes. We're still figuring out live streaming and all
changes.
That. I want to move Games with Radar to Friday and live streaming to Wednesday officially, because I feel like more people can sit down and play.
It makes more sense.
Kick your shoes off.
It makes more sense.
Play a game naked.
Pound a bottle of wine.
Pardonnez-moi, monsieur.
Yeah, so...
monster. It's pronounced monster.
So just keep your eyes open for those kinds of changes.
Do you know what next week's going to be? Do you have any ideas? I think I know what it should be.
The Games with Radar? I want it to be... Gears.
Let's do it.
Judgment.
I'm hoping enough people have bought it by then.
I'm in.
Okay. Good.
Let's do it.
So it's going to be Gears of War Judgment next Friday. So
at
3. We're either going to do 3 to 5 or 4 to 6.
Oh, I can't wait to get some achievements.
Chivos?
Because, I mean, East Coast is going to be in either way, because those suckers are living in the future. But West Coast, you gotta let people leave work early so they can hit that 4 p.m.
All right, 4 to 6. You heard it here, and you're probably going to read it on the website.
Also, it's probably going to change.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so last week's question of the week was, what game was a horrible launch?
Yes.
What was, like, the worst
launch? Worst launch you were a part of.
Ever a part of. So we got some good responses.
Wait, Ryan, you weren't here last week, right?
Oh.
Correct.
What was the worst launch you were a part of?
Oh, boy. It would have been probably one of the MMOs that I was playing. I would have to say, honestly...
Tabula Rasa?
No. Oh, Terror. God, that was... interesting. No, the worst one I can remember actually being in was Ion, I think, because my friends and I, for some reason, pre-ordered it.
Dude, like 6 hour queues to join the server.
Yeah, and then when we got in, it took like the ping, like our pings were through the roof. We couldn't do shit. So that's probably the.
I was right there with you on a different server
on the spot. That's the one I recall the most.
It's a good one.
Nice.
Lucas was here last
week.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was yours?
Mine was Burning Crusade. I couldn't play it.
That's right. All right. Scratch all that. Don't listen to Lucas. Here we go.
Wow.
Thanks.
All
right.
So SuperChuck1980
SuperChuck
says
number one
Superman 64.
Ah.
He was super I'll paraphrase. He was super excited.
Super excited?
Yeah, yeah. You give me shit.
Zingo.
Give me a break. All right, he popped in Nintendo 64. He had to fly through a ring. Laggy animations. You had to walk most of the time, walk through walls.
Imagine then, paying $50 for that game.
And, was and that 50 or 60?
As he was carrying,
God, I don't want
to
know.
Carrying someone to a goal area to, like, finish a goal, he just fell through the floor.
And that's actually a power that Superman has.
Due to the lack of save features, he just hasn't ever started the game ever again.
Why would you?
He probably got further than a majority of people who played that game. I remember specifically I played it to, like, I flew through the rings, took me like 50 tries, and then you immediately, it's like, save that person! And if you don't save that person from, like, a speeding car, immediately you have to restart. And I think I got to that same point like 5 times. I'm like, nope.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's great. Shostica.
Ah, I know this one.
He's actually commenting on somebody else's, but I liked his reference to the Mass Effect 2 being inside of Black Ops 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if some people bought a copy of Black Ops 2, crack that bitch open, and boom, copy of Mass Effect.
Mass Effect 2 is just inside.
Like, how does that even happen?
You're ready for, like, an intense online multiplayer shooter, and you get Mass Effect.
That to be fair, Mass Effect, if you didn't play Mass Effect 2, the game is awesome.
Yeah, you're a fool.
Significantly better game. So
yeah. I totally agree, but that is a pretty shitty thing to happen.
God, that's
distribution
weird.
Center, huge pressing huge discs.
Dave Goose says...
The Goose. Goose?
Is it literally just Dave Goose?
Dave Goose, yeah. Nice. Resistance 3, bought it day one. The goddamn online pass had already been redeemed.
Oh, God.
A sealed copy?
Sony jerked him around for a week until he took it back to Walmart. He got a new copy. He was a pain in the ass. Killed any excitement for the game he had. And customer support for Sony is bullshit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is a huge
again. I
kind
of paraphrase the end. Sorry, sorry, Goose.
The Goose,
little Goose,
Goose. Right.
So the winner this week is Games Radar Colander Cooper.
Yes, finally.
You had a pretty good one. Again, it's super long, but I did read it all.
Wait, don't read it until he listens to the next Poke Radar.
Yeah, you dick. Okay, Colander Cooper, I'm calling you out right now.
I like how when you said Colander Cooper, I'm calling you out right now. You looked me dead in the eyes. Just look at me when you're doing this. Channel your energy.
Okay, Colander Cooper. Just because Poke Radar shows up in the feed for Radio Radar, it gets you so upset that you have to log on to the website, go to Poke Radar, where we're having a very nice conversation
about Pokemon,
and you have to get in there and be like, fuck this podcast, get it out of my radio feed, all right? Just
okay,
cool the
okay,
fuck
the
out.
Only justification I can see is if he has OCD, he has no intention of listening to this, but he can't stand the sight of it unplayed in his feed.
That he gets so upset, he logs on, goes into Poke Radar, leaves a comment.
Listen, Colander Cooper, I understand. I'm right there with you. I mean, I understand that it was my specific choice to do that, and I'm going to continue doing it, but I'm right there with you. If I could change it, I could, I promise. I mean, I could change it right now. I could literally, like, I could delete them all in a second. Up. It would take no energy or effort.
And yet...
And I'm not going to do it. But man, if I could, I would. Don't worry. I'm right there with you. I respect you.
Anyways, you're the winner, and
I'm really fucking asshole. I'm going to send you a game.
Yeah. So what you said was the PS Vita launch was super disappointing. You have this long story about how you jumped out of bed and drove to Target, and you were barely wearing any clothes.
I did that.
Ooh.
You ran up to the store clerk, like, sweating, and you were super upset, and you're like, oh, thank God it's 8:10. Are there any copies left? And the guy said, yeah, we haven't sold any. And I liked your final line was, I leaned on the counter to catch my breath and thought, shit, this system is going to die.
A well-deserved
congratulations. Yeah, so well done. Stay out of the Poke Radar comments, but you win.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah, so contact me at greghenniger@gamesradar.com, and I will tell you all the fun stuff we have to give away.
How do you spell that?
Like, that is GREGHENNINGER.
My favorite part is that's not actually your email address.
It absolutely is.
I thought it was just G. Henniger.
No, we didn't change it.
No, I mean, it was the first initial last
name. He doesn't know.
No, it's full Greg Henniger.
Really? Yeah. They felt like you needed to have a longer email address than anyone else, despite having a hard-to-spell last name?
It's got almost all the letters in the alphabet in it.
My God.
So yeah. What kind of stuff do we have?
We still have a smattering of Xbox and PS3 games.
Such biting wordplay.
Any recent releases?
Part of the Swarm art book.
I bet you we have some Vita games if you wanted a Vita game.
I do have a copy of SimCity to give away.
Ooh.
For PC. No, I think I have Devil May Cry for 360.
Oh, yeah.
Some Walking
I've been
Dead.
That.
Walking Dead.
I want that game.
Infamous Collection. Nice. WW13.
Nice.
We also have, like, some awesome shirts. We just got one for Age of Wushu that I think you'd appreciate.
Wushu style.
But, no, we actually have I think I want to hold on to this for something special, but it's the Street Fighter Monopoly.
That's a keeper.
I think that we might...
That's a keeper that we're going to give away at some point.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Colander Cooper, you cannot have the Monopoly.
Yeah,
set.
I'm going to send you a Pokemon
Radar.
Black and White as your
We do
prize.
Have a copy of that, don't
MP3s
we?
MP3s of every Poke Radar.
Yeah.
And a signed picture of Henry Gilbert, the host of Poke Radar, that just says... Fuck you.
I have the perfect picture. Oh, God.
Well, congratulations.
Gotta troll them all. Just a picture of Henry giving a thumbs up and a middle finger.
It's him when we're in Japan standing next to the dog statue. Oh, God, I'm blanking on the name of
Hachi?
The dog.
Hachi?
Yes. And he's doing this peace sign with his... Oh, it's really goony looking.
So, yeah, you might get all of that, too.
All right.
That's the episode.
What's this week's question?
Oh, yeah, good call.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My God.
Prequel.
Yes.
There were prequels.
So last week was, or this, yeah, this week was God of War Ascension.
God of Gears.
Next week is Gears of War Judgment. Both prequels that we wouldn't have necessarily thought we needed.
But turns out they were just the ones we wanted.
Well, maybe. Most. I don't know if that's, I mean, I think I specifically
they were the
said
prequels
that's not.
This city needed.
But what series do you want a prequel, or what game do you want a prequel to?
Oh, crap.
I feel like I had the perfect answer for this 2 weeks ago, and now I can't remember.
I know we're about to get a BioShock sequel of sorts. I want a legit prequel that shows Rapture's downfall. We've never fully seen Rapture. We've seen like, Rapture after it fell.
As an RTS, you could build Rapture.
Evil Genius?
Yeah.
No, that'd be a really shitty.
That would be awful.
Like SimCity? Oh, wait. They made that. No, seriously, it's called, isn't it like Anno 2040, whatever? And there's an underwater version.
Yeah.
I want one that's like, you should be seeing, maybe instrumental in the downfall of Rapture. Because you saw glimmers of it when it was alive in BioShock 2, but I want to see it in the process of crumbling. Also, right. I just want more BioShock.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for Infinite, so I just wanted to talk about BioShock, you guys.
I just remembered the game that I do want this for, and that's Dishonored, but I might be getting it in that DLC that's coming up.
Ooh.
The Blade of Dunwall, I think
it's called.
Because, you know, Corvo, he's a skilled assassin even before he gets superpowers, so why not do a game where it's just him as a normal dude?
It's literally just Thief.
Oh my God, I'm blanking so hard.
With instant gratification, because we don't have to wait like a year and a half to get it.
I want a prequel to all of the Assassin's Creed where you are a caveman assassin.
Just literally a club taped to your wrist.
I mean, honestly, that's kind of in Sly Cooper Thieves in Time.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, that's mine. I couldn't think of anything.
Well, I'm sure I could come up with a better answer if I went and looked at my desk of toys, but I'm going to just say, how about a Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core prequel where you play as Sephiroth? That'd be kind of cool.
Sephiroth. Da, 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 da.
All right. So answer on the post for this articles or for this podcast, or shoot an email to radioradar@gamesradar.com, or send us an at reply on Twitter @GRRadioRadar, or just post on Facebook.
Yeah.
we'll read some of your answers next week on the show.
Correct.
Yeah, and also be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, like us and rate us and comment on our podcast on iTunes.
On the topic of Facebook, if you are both a Facebook fan of this show and you listen to this podcast, you should try to see how many comments are actually coherent sentences on Facebook.
I would say it's probably 1 out of every 10.
Yeah, and how many are just, you see a game. And you name that game.
Or you see a game and you ask what game it is, despite it being very obvious.
We had the one go up for best skyboxes today. Yeah. And the picture was a beautiful picture from Halo 1, had the rain going up. And so I think we had 30 comments in like maybe 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Half of them were Halo, Halo 1, Halo, Warthogs, Halo.
I'm wondering if it's just bots.
Oh, thank God we were confused.
Well, it can't be like... I don't understand.
I know it's not bots.
I don't understand.
Yeah, just look at your screen and just like they type the first thing they see and then hit enter.
I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Facebook is actually a test.
For humanity?
Yes.
We're failing.
We're doing terribly. But either way, follow us on Facebook. And not only should you like us on Facebook, but you should intentionally make sure that whenever we post any screenshot of any game, you immediately post what the game
is. Be the first one.
Be the first one. You'll be a trendsetter. Or, you know what would be funny? Get it wrong. Intentionally. Get it super wrong. Like, it's the Halo ring to Half-Life 2.
There was a picture of
Viva Pinata.
Lara Croft, and someone's like, who is that?
Yeah.
Well, how could you not know?
So yeah, someone was like, why didn't you put the new Laura? And I was like, God, just, Jesus Christ.
Just fuck off.
So there's that. Oh, and yeah.
I love you, community.
He's a community manager and he loves all of you. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
He went on to be president.
All right, are you ready now? All right. What are we
Which doing? Is more ridiculous? Ridiculoso.
All right. Boom.
Yeah.
But
shoot.
I'm hurry up.
I can't decide.
Do it. Now.
Well, while you're deciding, I'm going to talk about Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy Ooh. Is the most ridiculous game ever created because it is about a naked wad of meat running around trying to save a woman who ostensibly is in love with him.
Well, he's not a wad of meat. He's a skinless boy.
Oh.
So.
Well, same thing.
Ridiculous
same thing,
in that he would be dead. I mean, truth be told, he would be dead. And if he wasn't dead, there is not a woman alive who is into that whole blood play kind of thing.
I don't know.
There's a couple.
I've met
some
around the internet. Around the internet.
I went with Far Cry 2. Reason being, Far Cry 2 tries to be super realistic. In some elements, like, it's like, oh, if you're injured, if you get, like, in a car accident, you need to, like, pop your shoulder back in to heal. But then there's other things, like, it tells you that any time a car is damaged, the way you repair it is by screwing in a bolt in the middle of the engine. Mm-hmm. Or if you get shot, no matter what, no matter where you get shot, you just immediately, like, shove a knife in there and pop it out, and then you're healed.
You're fine.
So it's this weird idea that, like, it's a Band-Aid approach to everything. And that is why Far Cry 2 is ridiculous.
Far Cry 2 may have some fantastical representations of real life, but it's not nearly as ridiculous as Donkey Kong. The notion that a giant gorilla would kidnap a woman,
Mario's pet.
And I've seen a movie.
Whatever he
I'm
is.
I'm pretty sure it was a documentary.
He climbed a construction site, and Mario, the way that you save the princess, or your girlfriend, or whatever she is by jumping up girders and climbing ladders and hopping over barrels. Like, the gorilla would not throw that shit at you. He doesn't know what's going on. The smartest gorilla learned a couple words in sign language. Like, they're not that smart, you know? So.
Well, I don't know if throwing barrels is a sign of intelligence.
But I mean, you don't see many idiots throwing barrels. I'll put it that way.
He would just have no motivation for doing anything like this. So it's just a silly scenario.
Probably be throwing poop.
He'd probably kill her before he just picked her up and
ripped her face off and like ate her ear. That's usually what apes do when they go crazy.
That's what happens. So.
That's what actually happened. And Donkey Kong is the fever dream of Mario realizing that his pet ape murdered his.
It's like an escapism thing
what's
for
her
him.
Name? Penelope. That's
not Pauline.
Pauline. Almost.
Well, wait, guys. I have the most ridiculous one, and that is worms, because worms don't have arms, and yet they have hands that can hold guns and shoot people and also like swing around on like Spider-Man with ninja rope, and then they have fictional items like a concrete donkey and a holy hand grenade. Come on.
I mean, this is America.
Hallelujah.